I usually show up like 15 over at 135. I usually show up like 150 at 35s, you know?
So you're actually closer to 125 at this point in fight week.
Yeah, I've taken it. I mean, obviously, I haven't made 125 since I was a freshman in college, maybe a senior in high school, you know, because I didn't want to. I wanted to wrestle 33s, so I haven't made 25s in a long time. So I wanted to make sure I, you know, cross all my T's and dot all my I's. I wasn't second-guessing going down 25s. I want to be the best TJ Dillashaw possible on the 19th.
Person asking that question to TJ Dillashaw ahead of his fight against Henry Cejudo coming up Saturday, UFC Fight Night 143, the debut of it on ESPN Plus. Mark Ramondi, MMA Fighting, joining us on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Mark, Matt Peralta, how are you?
What's up, Matt? How are you, man?
I'm wonderful. Happy New Year. Good to hear from you. Okay, I got a ton of questions here. The first of which is this. I love this card. And maybe I'm just, I don't know, maybe I've become that big of a UFC fan that I'm now jumping up and down about watching some of these fights. But I think the storylines, from a writer perspective, the fact that Dillashaw's going for a second belt, you have Greg Hardy on the same card as a female who had her orbital bone broken a couple of months ago, which has that awful storyline going in. You got Paige Van Zandt fighting for her career, essentially. You got Joseph Benavidez fighting in what could be a way of getting the winner of this fight at the top between TJ and Henry Cejudo. Where's the hype? Where are we?
I mean, that's a loaded question. I feel like as you said, Matt, and kind of what that question at the top was about, the storyline going into this fight is Dillashaw moving down to 125 and trying for a second title, which, I mean, trying for a second title was a big fad for the UFC in 2018, and it seems like it'll be continuing on into 2019. To me, that is the big question. I think that the storyline all week will be, how is Dillashaw looking? You know, how is he energetic? And people have already been saying on social media, like, wow, you know, in photos he looks already drawn out. He looks very, very skinny and very small. Where the heck is he going to get those extra 10 pounds from as far as the wake up goes? So I think Friday morning, the official weigh-ins will be a big deal. To see if Dillashaw can actually make that weight. Because don't forget, if he doesn't make the weight, there is no title on the line. So it's a big deal that he makes the weight. I think he will, but certainly making the weight and how does he look at that weight are the two big things, I think, going into the first UFC on ESPN Plus card.
Yeah, Mark, I watched the video that you guys put up on MMAfighting.com. That audio that we just played came from that video in which you asked TJ about making the weight, and he says, I'm at 125 already, or 135 already. Normally I'm 15 pounds over, and I cut down to 135, no sweat. This is now 135 to 125. He looked scary in that video that you guys shot. Is it wrong to question his ability to make that weight?
I don't think it's wrong with the question his ability to make the weight, because, as he said himself, he has not been that light since he was a senior in high school. That's a long time ago. So it's definitely a concern. And as soon as the fight was made at 125, it was a concern for me. I mean, I've done a lot of weight cutting coverage over the years, and it's one of the worst parts of the sport, if not the worst part of the sport of mixed martial arts. Is the weight cut. It's still crazy to me that fighters deplete themselves in the hours leading up to the fight and then try to rehydrate and then put on a good performance. So it's a concern for me. I was surprised the fight was at 125 and not 135, where it could have been Cejudo versus Dillashaw for the 135-pound title, which Dillashaw holds. That was surprising. And not only is it a question, Matt, whether he can make the weight, and again, I want to say I think that he can make the weight. The question extends into Saturday night. How will he perform? Will that weight cut have affected his ability to perform at the highest possible level, which we've seen him do at bantamweight many times?
Yeah, it's really interesting. And you guys have covered weight cutting, the dangers of weight cutting for many years now, and seeing somebody cut from 135 down to 125. He's 32 years old. He said, as in that clip, senior in high school, so that would be 18. So we're talking 14 years ago was the last time he made 125.
Right.
And he's now trying to do so as a full-grown adult. Is there any concern, and not to harp on it, but, you know, we've seen guys with title shots, and, you know, Khabib Nurmagomedov being the latest here in Vegas, being taken to the hospital because his organs were shutting down. I mean, how closely will he be medically monitored, do you think, on Friday?
I think he'll be closely medically monitored. I think that he, and I believe him when he says he's been doing it in a scientific way. I believe him when he says that he has a great nutrition coach, strength and conditioning coach, and Sam Calavita. I believe all those things. I think that he, and he is also an extremely disciplined guy, and I believe that too. But the fact of the matter is, there's only so much you can do with discipline and with science. Sometimes the body just says, nope, it's not going to happen. And I think that what is also worth noting this week too, Matt, is the fight is in New York. It's in Brooklyn. It's under the auspices of the New York State Athletic Commission. And they are very sensitive to health issues. They were the ones who pulled Max Holloway from cutting more weight to try to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov last year in April, when him and his nutritionist and his team said he was on track and he was fine. He wasn't in bad shape at all. And the commission pulled him from continuing to cut the weight. So I think they will be giving a look on Friday morning at the very latest to see where Dillashaw is at and how he looks and what his health is. They are certainly a concerned commission when it comes to health, because this is a commission and a state that has been sued due to athlete health recently with a boxer who had a brain injury after a fight. So they're very cognizant of health issues.
Interesting. Mark Ramondi, MMAfighting.com, joining us here on Pushing the Odds, UFC Fight Night 143 in Brooklyn, happening on ESPN Plus on Saturday. And that's my next question, Mark, about ESPN Plus. How many UFC fans understand that after the prelims shut off on Saturday, that they have to watch the fight on an app, not on their TV, or they have to run the app through an apparatus, through an HDMI cord or whatnot, to get to their TV set? How many fans recognize that, do you think?
I think the hardcore fans do, and Matt, I think this is the big question now for the UFC with this ESPN deal moving forward. Never before have there been so many cards behind a paywall for the UFC. During this last era when the UFC was with Fox, with FS1, you get the majority of UFC fight night cards on FS1 on cable. They were readily available to pretty much anyone who had cable, DirecTV, what have you. Now, it's behind a paywall. It's on a streaming service. It kind of adds another layer of, well, how bad do you want to watch this card? I think that streaming services are the future, but still, by far, most people have cable than subscribe to streaming services other than like Netflix. So it'll be a big question to see if the UFC can grow its audience, if it can continue with its audience now onto a new service where you have to sign up, you have to subscribe to ESPN Plus, you have to, like you said, run it on your laptop or on your mobile device and stream it to your TV if you're watching on TV, if you're watching that way. How does this even affect, like, you know, people who watch at bars? Are they going to be able to stream ESPN Plus at bars? There are a lot of questions to me about this still. I think the UFC Beyond ESPN is great for the sport because it'll get that added credence, that added credibility, added exposure on SportsCenter and all the big ESPN programs. But ESPN Plus and the UFC is still a question mark to me.
Yeah, I totally agree. Mark Ramondi, MMA Fighting, joining us. I think also, you know, getting the stars to be a part of the ESPN Plus fights are really important, because let's be honest here, the flyweight division was on the chopping block. I mean, this was a division that was, Dana White was rumored to be getting rid of it, and now they're, you know, signing guys like Joseph Benavidez to four fight contracts. So clearly the division not right now is going anywhere, but you know, I'm surprised that this is the title that they put on there for ESPN Plus. Are you?
Well, I think the situation was They were kind of desperate because they could not find a marquee fight for this card. So they had to actually cancel a pay-per-view, which was going to be next week in Anaheim.
Yeah.
That was going to be Cejudo versus Dillashaw for the flyweight title. So they had to actually pull that fight from a pay-per-view, cancel that card, and put Cejudo versus Dillashaw on the ESPN Plus card, because they could not find, they were not able to book a marquee matchup for the ESPN Plus debut. And ESPN Plus, you know, ESPN is pushing ESPN Plus very hard. They believe that is the future of their programming. And they wanted a marquee fight on the first UFC card in ESPN Plus. They're paying the UFC a lot of money for this, you know,
right.
and they want to feature ESPN Plus. So the UFC had to do something they don't often do in canceling a card and moving a main event a week earlier to accommodate ESPN Plus. So, I mean, it stands to reason, and I think we've spoken about this too, Matt. The UFC they only have a certain amount of bullets as far as drawing cards for main event fights. And adding ESPN Plus and ESPN wanting to feature ESPN Plus, plus pay-per-views, plus the fight nights that are going to be on ESPN, you know, the network, the main network on television, on cable, it's going to be even harder than ever for the UFC to fill all these main event spots when they're running 40-plus shows a year. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, I totally agree. One quick question on this main card, and then I do have a John Jones question before we run out of time, but do you believe Dillashaw makes weight and this fight happens?
I do. I think he makes weight. I think the fight happens. Again, to me, the question is just, how does he look at that weight? Is he as good as he is at 135?
Okay, Anthony Smith is a fighter I've wanted to have a title shot for a long time. Since he's gone down to light heavyweight, he's been phenomenal. I spent 5 years in Omaha, Nebraska. I have a lot of my friends who are still in combat sports in Omaha who have told me just crazy stories about this guy. This guy is an animal, and he's going to have an unbelievable opportunity to fight John Jones. My question to you is, will the Nevada Athletic Commission give John Jones a license?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I don't know the answer to that right now. I think it was. I think that it spoke volumes to me that they did not, that they wanted to have a hearing before they granted him a license back in December. So that and the UFC had to make that drastic move of changing the event on the week of the fight from Nevada to California. Of course, that was just a few weeks ago. That was crazy in itself. But the fact that Nevada would not do that without a hearing and didn't want to rush John Jones in means that they're going to take a sharp look at it. This is not going to be, they're not going to just roll over and say, hey, John Jones, here's your license. It's going to be a tough decision. It could go either way. I don't actually know, and I don't think even they know yet. There has to be the hearing. There has to be probably expert testimony. California was able to license him, and they still agree. They will still license Jones in the future. So I wonder, Matt, if Nevada says no, do they move the fight again to California? Do they move UFC 235 again to California? I don't know the answer, but I wouldn't put it past them.
That would be just so disappointing for me. I want that fight here in Nevada. I want that fight here in Las Vegas. I really want to see that fight happen. But I don't. Yeah, I think it's a great point. Mark, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the fights this weekend. We'll catch up soon, I'm sure.
Anytime. Thanks, man.